We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Meteorologist Ed Kieser presents his tornado show this evening at Parkland College's Starkel Planetarium. The show is entertaining, but the goals also include providing practical information on safety and telling the audience about what researchers have learned and are learning about tornadoes. Ed's presentation is part of the Starkel Planetarium's World of Science lecture series. It takes place this evening at 7. Admission is $1. And Ed's with me this afternoon to offer us a sneak peek, so to speak, of tonight's show. Hi, Ed.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Have there now been 19 consecutive shows?
This will be the 19th year, and we almost didn't get it in this year. But yes, our first show was in 1991, and every year subsequent to that, we've had at least one show. And some years we've taken it on the road. Some years we've had more than one in town. But this is the 19th year for it.
And each year you update the show. What's new this year?
Well, we're doing this at a different time of year. So one thing that I'm featuring, it's not going to be the whole show, but one thing I'd like to feature is a little bit about late season tornadoes, especially in the last decade or so. We've had a lot of tornadoes in the Midwest and the U.S. in November. Occasionally we do get them in December and January and February. So I thought it'd be good to maybe focus on those a little bit, because we think of tornadoes occurring just in the spring and summer, and of course our prime tornado season does run from late March through June, but they do occur at any time of year, and I've got some interesting facts regarding winter tornadoes, so that's one thing we'll be talking about tonight.
Okay. Now, I know just a few years ago, it was in this decade, in November, there was a deadly tornado in Ohio.
Yeah, the Van Wert, Ohio tornado occurred on November 12th, I believe. It was in 2002 in Van Wert. So I sometimes get my exact dates mixed up at this point of the day. But around that time, we had very warm air coming up from the south, which is what you need for tornadoes almost any time of year. But interestingly, on that day, the storm started to fire up in Illinois, and there was concern about whether the storms would come into the Champaign-Urbana area. They stayed south and east, but a Chicago Bears football game was occurring that day. And I did call the stadium emergency personnel to tell them, don't worry about these storms, because the tornado watch was put in effect. They stayed just south and east, started to get really nasty in Indiana, and then as they moved up toward Van Wert, Ohio, a F4 tornado in Van Wert County, Ohio, and then one tornado was on the ground for at least 30 miles and killed some people, although it could have been a lot worse. There was a movie theater that was hit, and the manager got everybody out of the theater before it hit. And a couple cars ended up landing where people were sitting.
Wow.
Prior to, of course, being evacuated.
Yeah. Well, I went online and looked for late season tornadoes, and there was also an outbreak in October of 1996 that affected Nebraska, South Dakota, and Minnesota. No fatalities there, but there was more than $1 million worth of damages.
Yeah, so that's October. October is typically a very quiet month. We had back in the last decade or so a tornado that hit Monticello in October, and we had some strong winds. Some say it was a tornado in northwest Champaign. We were in this building already, because I recall telling everybody to go downstairs, and then when I went downstairs, everybody was out by the plate glass windows looking out at the storm, the big windows in the lobby.
And we should know better.
That's not where to go. And WILL kind of devised a revised, or maybe emphasized a little more, where people should go within our own building when a tornado threatens. Because while storms are interesting to look at, you don't want to be near a window when one hits.
Yeah. Well, I remember sitting on the floor on the lowest level of the building, the first floor, in an interior hallway for an hour or so a few years back.
Yeah, that we've had a few incidences since then. But fortunately, we haven't had to evacuate the second floor of Campbell Hall too often because of storms.
Yeah. You know, after there's a suspected tornado event, it may take some time before it's known how strong the storm was and if it was or was not a tornado. Is there a kind of meteorological forensic specialty?
Well, there are guidelines, yes. And in fact, in the last few years, the tornado rating system has been revised a little bit. The F scale, the Fujita scale, which ran from 0 to 5, is now the EF scale, the Enhanced Fujita scale. And basically, there's stricter guidelines on looking at the strength of a structure that's been hit by a tornado to try to estimate the wind speed. So there is some science to the forensics. Most of the time, it's the National Weather Service sending their employees out after a storm to do the damage surveys. Sometimes they contract with others, but there's a checklist of things to look for to say, okay, we have evidence that the wind was this strong or that strong. And that is one thing that's interesting when you get up to, say, the EF5 category. You might have an EF5 tornado, the highest ranking one, but if it goes through a field where there's no evidence of EF5 damage, they can't rate it that high. So there may be a few out there that have never been rated 5 just because they didn't hit anything. Thank goodness, because you don't want to be in the path of one of those. But there's definitely forensics there. Also, looking at the pattern of the damage is key is to determining what kind of wind it was. Was it a tornado circular wind or was it a straight line wind? And a lot of storms that produce tornadoes also have quadrants that produce straight line winds that can be every bit as strong as the average tornado. A lot of people are disappointed when they find out that their house was hit by straight line winds, because I think people will have that pride factor of saying, we were hit by a tornado. But a lot of times it's straight line downburst winds that cause damage. But forensically, if that's a word, you can figure it out.
Yeah. Could there be a tornado that would be more powerful than an EF5?
No, because the new EF scale makes an EF5 with rotary winds of 200 miles per hour or greater. The old F scale had F5 at 261 to 318, but it's thought that there is an overestimation of the wind speeds, and that's why now it's two. That's the main change in the EF scale. They tried to match an old one with a new one, an old 4 with an old 4, and so on. But the old F scale had, theoretically, Mach 1 speeds would be F12. But never had there been a tornado over F5, so the new scale makes it so it's not possible to have one over 5. 5 is the max.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit more about the show this year. You've got some video, do you? And you're
going to
have a Q&A?
We, of course, will have some video, and I'll take questions. There's always a lot of good tornado questions out there. And some of the video, some will be our old classics that we have shown in other shows, but we'll have some new video, too. Andrew Pritchard, who worked with us part-time for a while. He's now attending Northern Illinois studying meteorology. Got video, pretty good video of a tornado that went through Northern Illinois, through some populated areas even, back in June of 08. And so that's some new video that we have coming into the show this year. And we have some other clips as well that are new, but some of the older clips we like to use to illustrate different things tornadoes can do and how fast they can come and go, for example. We show some people that maybe lived on the edge a little bit and should have taken cover, and you learn why you should take cover. There's one video shot by a person who actually got hit on the back of the head by something flying out of his kitchen, and that was the end of the video.
Yeah.
Of course, he kept shooting after he got struck by lightning, but that's another story.
It's like right out of The Wizard of Oz, isn't it?
Just about.
Yeah. Well, what do you enjoy most about bringing the show to the public?
What I enjoy most is the interaction with the public, because tornadoes are scary, but they're also very fascinating. It's one of the most fascinating things in nature, I think, because of the power that they display. And if they're not hitting something, damaging something, they're actually very interesting to look at and beautiful. And I just find with these shows that there's just a wealth of curiosity with young and old. And that's the other thing I really like about these shows. We have kids and we have grandparents and everybody in between, and there seems to be a little something for everybody, and I enjoy that. I think that that's the most fun part of doing these shows, and over the years I've gotten some really great questions, and it just takes me back a little bit to when I was younger too. It's one of those times where you can just go and just explore a little bit, and whatever your interest is in the storms, that's what I'm there to answer the questions for. Okay. And we do get a wide variety.
Ed Kieser presents his 19th annual tornado show this evening at Parkland College's Starkel Planetarium. It's set for 7 o'clock this evening. Admission is $1. You probably want to get there a little bit on the early side.
Probably. Seating's limited in the planetarium. So
if
you get there early, get the best seat. And if we fill up really quickly, I don't know, maybe we'll do two shows. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Ed Kieser.
Earth and sky.
This network of islands and marsh, what do we want it to be as a natural functioning system? And what's, you know, realistic given sort of the fact that there are 38 million people living in California using water that comes from there?
You're listening to Stanford University's Steve Monasmith. He's an expert on fluid mechanics, or the way water moves. He studies the San Francisco estuary, a mix of salt and fresh water, where two of California's rivers meet near one of America's most populous